Are you wondering what homeschooling looks like in middle and high school? Whether you have toddlers or teenagers, it's so important to have long-term vision for your child's education. Join Carol, JJ, and me on Saturday, June 6th for our Begin with the End in Mind webinar. You'll learn to carry out this approach through middle and high school and get a clear path for launching your children into adulthood. Visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars to register today for Begin with the End in Mind. Now let's get into the episode. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. In today's episode, Carol visits with her longtime friend, Dr. Bill Sears. He shares from his wealth of knowledge as a pediatrician and a prolific author. This is part one of a three-part series. Before we get into the episode, are you ready to jump in and learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach? We've bundled our essential teachings together to create the HMS Essentials Bundle. In it, we'll teach you everything you need to know about our approach from the elementary years through high school graduation. This bundle includes four key audio resources, a return to our roots of greatness, a literature-based approach to education, Begin with the End in Mind, and the homeschooling interview. The HMS Essentials Bundle will help you set a solid foundation for homeschooling simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably in every season of life. And the more than 20 pages of book lists will point you toward the resources that we love most. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout to receive 15% off your order. Visit our online store, homeschoolmadesimple.net/store to get the HMS Essentials Bundle today. Now let's get into the episode.
Well, I am so delighted to be sitting with my dear friend, Dr. William Sears. We're looking out on the Pacific Ocean. You don't have to feel sorry for us, just saying. And Bill is, for those of you who don't have the privilege of knowing him, he is really the father of what I call attachment parenting and many other things that he and his wife really pioneered in. So many things. But Bill lost his beautiful wife about 6 months ago. She's with the Lord. But I'm grateful that Bill's still here so that we can pick his brain. So welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So, Bill, how many books have you and Martha?
48 books and counting.
Yes. Oh, my land. And do you still write them longhand on legal pads?
The key is, I dictate them.
Yes.
Just so
I knew you
just
did
dictate
that.
Them.
That's a good
and
way
then,
to go.
And then type.
Someone types it
types
for you.
It up,
yes.
And then I take the notes from the dictation and put them in the book.
Unbelievable. And you edit it. And yes. Yeah. And you and Martha always have a project or had a project going, the two of you, all the
yes.
time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the world is richer because of it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we are. Our last book we finished together, Martha's last book together, we finished about a month ago.
Oh.
Yeah, called The Smart Health Plan.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was Martha's last book
Will
that she
Testament.
Co-authored.
Yeah, I love it.
And her joke is when somebody asked her, well, how have you and Bill survived writing all those books together? And she says, Bill writes it, I fix it.
That sounds like Martha.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, today I want to talk about the subject of attachment.
Okay.
And you have taught the world about the importance of this. And as I work with families very often who have adoptive children, for example, this concept comes up a lot in my work. And I would love to just visit it with you. And I want you to teach our listeners why attachment is so essential for the well-being of our children. So let's start with in the womb, because mm-hmm. believe it or not, it begins there, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Okay, talk
and,
about that.
Basically, Carol, the term attachment just means it's a uniting of brains, mommy brain and baby brain. And the baby brain grows the fastest in the womb. And we always hear the term mommy brain as sort of a derogatory term. You forgot your appointment, you lost your treatment. No. But mommy brain is real. When you grow a baby inside of you, think about it. God's greatest creation.
Amen.
The baby. So it doesn't make sense that God would put in the mother a mommy brain, like a GPS, to tell her how to take care of her baby. Makes sense.
Yes.
And now we know, you know, new technology called neuroimaging.
Yes.
Windows to the brain.
Yes.
Mommy brain is real.
Yes, it is.
Mommy grows her brain.
Yes. So a baby in the womb, what message do we need to be consciously and prayerfully sending to the baby in our womb when we're carrying a baby?
Yes. Well, again, new studies and all, babies hear.
Yes, in the womb.
They hear in the womb.
Yes.
And the way they discover that is babies would tend to, their first words and all were the ones that mommy used. So we tell mommies to start talking to the baby in the womb.
Yes.
It's good for the mommy.
Yes. And the daddy.
And the daddy.
And singing to the baby.
Yeah, see, right? Well, singing. Yes. Well, okay, look, we call it hum singing. Hum singing, we have a whole course on that. Hum singing is good for the mommy brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it soothes the brain. It calms the brain.
Yeah.
And so we would tell moms like, thank you, God, for baby.
I love it.
And see, so remember, what's good for baby is good for mommy.
That's right.
See, so like, say you said, thank you, God, a couple hundred times or a thousand times while baby was in the womb.
Yes.
That term God would be maybe
imprinted.
One of the first
that
words.
Would be imprinted, isn't
like,
it?
Like maybe his first word would be mama, dada, gaga.
Uh-huh.
Like
that, you know? Whoa. And another thing that I think, Bill, you've taught me is the importance of a child feeling wanted and cherished and welcomed in the womb instead of a child who's rejected in the womb and how that can affect their well-being.
Sure. And that's more after birth.
Okay.
When babies are born, can imagine, what a world.
What a
They're
change.
Born from this big swimming pool, all you can eat. And no worries at all.
Yeah.
Hey, life is good. All of a sudden, we're out here in the air.
It's cold.
I'm hungry.
It's lonely.
Where's
my mother's heartbeat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is why right after birth.
Yes.
Is where attachment's important.
Yes. Talk about that.
We call it the golden hour.
Okay.
And I've attended over 1,000 births. My specialty used to be attending possible problems at birth a long time ago. And so over 1,000 births. And you know, Carol, if there are men listening, if there's any doubt who the stronger sex is, go see a birth. we men would be wimps.
That's true.
If we had to birth a baby.
That's true.
So baby comes through the birth canal.
Yes.
And what's interesting, they are prepared for the world as they come through the birth canal.
Yes.
As they come through the birth canal, they are swaddled and bathed with mother's natural bacteria in her birth canal, her microbiome.
Yes.
And that helps prepare the baby's immune system.
Yeah.
Because they're born covered with mommy's healthy microbiome, the immune system. And this is why they don't rush to wash babies off anymore.
Oh, that's brilliant. Custom. Oh, that's brilliant.
So now we call it cheek to breast. Baby comes out, and as soon as baby is breathing, has a good heart rate, and is pink,
right on
cheek
the breast.
To breast.
Uh-huh.
Don't go over to be washed and all that.
Yeah.
The first person that baby hears and feels and sees, mommy.
That's right.
A cheek to breast. That's it.
Yes.
So it's not only good for baby, it's good for mommy.
Amen. I'm falling in love right now with thinking about that baby.
It's just, and it's like, so mommy brain center in her.
The hormones going on.
Oh,
in
my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Her prolactin.
Yes.
Her oxytocin.
Yes.
She's making milk.
Yes. And then where does daddy come in on that bonding?
Daddy brain.
Yes.
So daddy has a change in the brain too.
Yes.
Daddy has a little change. It takes a little longer and it's different. See, and what people don't realize, a daddy actually has double duty. Mommy is caring for baby. That's it.
Yes.
Everybody else cares for mommy. No housework, nothing.
Yeah.
Like Martha used to say, don't take your nightgown off for 2 weeks.
Amen. That's what they taught us in La Leche League. Yeah. Don't get out of bed for 2 weeks.
Right. You're there to be served. You're there to be pampered.
That's right. That's your pampering.
You want to have a little nesting place.
Yeah.
By a window or serve, hey, I'm ready for my smoothie and all that. Okay. Now, but daddy has a double duty.
Yes.
To care for mommy, to create an environment that helps people serve her, mm-hmm. but also help care for baby.
Mm.
So he's got double duty. And that's why daddies will grow a little bit of a daddy brain, too. It's a beautiful difference, Carol, mommy brain and daddy brain. Mommy brain is more protective. Say when the kid's old enough to go to a playground, they jump on the monkey bars. Mommy will say, be careful, honey. Yeah. Daddy will say, climb higher, dude. You know, that's just the way they are.
And it should
be. But see, what's interesting, you don't see this talked about, is daddy's hormones change.
Mm-hmm. Talked about that.
Pregnancy and birth.
Wow.
Now, one thing men never need to hear, and they don't want to hear, is your testosterone is going down.
Okay.
Men don't want to hear that.
Just temporarily, right?
Temporarily.
Okay.
See? So that daddy, the nurturing hormones go up.
The tenderizing of his heart. Oh.
So his manly hormones may go down a bit, but his baby care.
Yes.
And his wifely and baby care hormones to care for his wife and baby.
Yes.
They go up.
And they become fiercely protective in that way.
Yeah.
In a manly way. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Talk about skin to skin contact with a baby and why that's important.
Yeah. Okay. Skin to skin, important for two reasons. All right. It's very calming. Skin to skin, very calming.
Okay.
But see, babies are born with a weakened immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner you can get that immune system going, the better. So what causes the immune system to grow is healthy bacteria going into the gut.
Okay.
And the gut, and it tells the immune system, hey,
rise
get
up.
Going.
Yes.
Rise up and take care. They get, from skin to skin, they get mommy's natural skin bacteria.
Yes, yes.
And that's what's normal. The golden hour,
mm-hmm.
everything else can wait. Mm-hmm. No shots, no wane and all that.
Yes.
That can all wait. It's skin to skin.
And daddy, being skin to skin with the baby,
yeah.
does daddy. That help him connect with that baby?
Oh, absolutely.
Rachel Winchester here to share with you one of our family's favorite storybook Bibles. The Biggest Story Bible Storybook by Kevin DeYoung. Our friends at Crossway Publishing created this beautiful book that is colorful and faithful to the scriptures. I love how it touches every part of the Bible, even though it's a condensed version for kids. My children have loved reading this together, and I think yours will as well. It's especially geared toward ages 6 to 12, and you can pick up a copy wherever books are sold or visit crossway.org/TBS Bible to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. Now back to the show.
I remember learning that when mothers sometimes overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time when Martha was going through that, you'd think after 8 kids, she'd know that. Right? But anyway, as she says to me, Carol, oh, I don't even have time to take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
My baby needs me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Light bulb goes on in daddy brain. And I said, honey, what our baby needs is a happy, rested mother. And I put a big sign on the bathroom, a mirror, what our baby needs. Dear Martha, what our baby needs is a happy, rested mother. So she looks at it every day. But now, I had to say, okay, I need to take over.
That's right.
Now, only mother can nurse.
Right.
But daddy can nurse.
Yes, he can.
Nursing means comforting.
That's right.
Now, this daddy, a mere male, doesn't have those two beautiful pacifiers that mommy has. But what do I do have? I have a hairy chest.
Yes.
Babies like that fuzzy, hairy chest. I have a deeper voice. And sometimes babies are calmed more by the more monotonous, deeper male voice. And so I developed what I call the neck nestle. I would put baby, his head right
under your
right
chin.
Under my chin.
Yeah.
Because babies hear with the vibration of their skin, skull bones too.
Okay.
And I'd say, you know, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, my little baby. And one of us would go to sleep. But so I learned.
And you told me that you used to hum into the baby's head, right?
Yeah, humming. And my, so we got to vibrate.
Yeah.
And babies love humming.
They do. Now, what about the toddler age? What is attached? So first, let's talk about wearing babies.
Okay.
So when Martha first invented the baby sling.
Yeah.
JJ was about maybe 5 or 6. So this was, you know, over 40 years ago that she invented it.
Yes.
And then you birthed the term wearing your baby.
Yes.
And Martha was asking me, what fabric should we use to make this? And, you know, as she was inventing this, which is now so common, but back then it was not known.
Right, right.
And so this idea of wearing your baby, what are the benefits of that, Bill?
Well, the benefits, I remember, was 1985.
Okay.
Baby number 6.
All right.
And we thought this could be our last baby.
Yes.
We really wanted to give them our best. So I moved my office into our garage, and the teenagers called it Dr. Bill's Garage and Body Shop, okay? So Martha made a sling, carrier. And at the end of the day, I would come through the door into the living room.
Yes.
And the baby sling that she made was on the doorknob right by the door, and Matthew would start to crawl over to the doorknob and point to the sling.
Because Daddy was home?
Because he knew that as soon as Daddy comes through the door, he's going to put that sling on and put me in it, and we're going to walk together.
Exactly.
Walk down the park.
And the beach. Didn't you used to get up every morning really early when Matthew was a baby and walk the beach?
Yes. And see, that was time for Martha to sleep in.
Right? Wonderful. So you're caring for your wife while you're caring
exactly.
for this baby.
And I say, honey, you sleep in.
Oh.
And see, what that does is good for daddy brain, too, because I'm forced to figure out how to nurse him.
How to comfort him. Yes.
And and so Matthew and I bonded that way. And what's interesting, the babies could probably remember back into 2 and 3 years of age, but Matthew does remember being carried in the sling when he was around 2.5 or 3.
Oh.
Now, we got a lot of flack, okay?
Because he was so big?
We were controversial at the time.
I know.
Which I don't like the term controversial. I'd rather, like you said, pioneering.
Yes.
We're pioneering. Okay?
That's right. I like
and,
that.
And because we thought, gosh, mothers the world over, where are their babies?
That's right.
I remember we went to a international parenting conference. And mothers from other countries would wear their babies as part of their native dress.
That's right. Better for the baby and better for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they said.
Uh-huh.
Makes life easier for mommy and just good for the baby.
That's right.
And I thought, that makes sense.
That's right.
And so we're not controversial anymore.
No, you're mainstream now. And tell the audience what you taught me years ago. How does food spoil? Why does food spoil?
When your food spoils when you leave it alone.
Exactly.
In an environment they don't. When you leave it alone in an environment doesn't belong.
Pay no attention to it.
Yeah.
That's when food spoils.
Food spoil.
Babies don't spoil from being loved. You
talk. No.
Just the opposite.
They're and that old song, "Doing What Comes Naturally."
Mm-hmm.
It's mothers.
It's natural to pick up a baby.
And so that's when we started writing the books. Carol, it was interesting, when Martha was going to heaven, everybody knew she was ill.
Yes.
And it's pretty soon, from that struggle with long-haul COVID, she had over 1,000 cards come, which I keep. And they all said about the same thing. These were from moms like 20, 25, 30 years ago. Thank you, Martha, for teaching me to follow my mother's intuition instead of what my doctors and the books were telling me. Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Martha.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
You have empowered multiple generations
to
do these things. I was just talking to a client and I asked her if she labored by like crouching or did she have a baby stool or something. She said, they wouldn't let me. And I said, well, I would have said to the nurse, you won't let me? Just watch me. That's what I would have said.
Right.
Because you have empowered us.
I love your term empowered, Carol, because that was what we got in most of the cards to Martha. Thank you, Martha, for empowering me.
Yes.
Now, one of the ways she did it, too, is birthing.
Amen. Talk about that.
Birthing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember with baby number four, and my specialty was high-risk delivery.
Mm-hmm.
All that. So I did all the masses. Honey, you know, the safest place for you to deliver is right here at home.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because you would have to drive an hour and a half to the hospital, and you have fast labors. I don't want to burst that baby in the back of the car.
Right.
Or you'd need a preterm induction.
Yeah.
Where they can be
control the pregnancy
problems.
Yeah.
So I had our bedroom set up like, you know, something just in case something happened.
A birthing center.
The typical hospital room at the time. And Carol, I was just awestruck when there was Martha, music, fireplace at home. She could dim the lights when she wanted. She could do what her body
naturally
told her to do, not what somebody's telling her to do. She could get up and squat. She could yell at me if she wanted to. She could do whatever she, because her hormones were telling her what to do. And her body obeyed. And I see this beautiful baby come out and go cheek to breast immediately. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Hospitals need to change.
Yes.
And that's why we started writing about
the birth book,
the nursing book,
baby book.
And yeah. See, because moms will rule this country. Don't mess with moms, I tell my politician friend. Don't mess with moms. You're going to lose, especially when it comes to baby.
That's it. They know what they need and want.
What they did is the mothers, they would go interview hospitals for having a birth. And they say, oh, do you have a hot tub I can get in just in case the labor gets too intense, just for 10 minutes or so? Do you have a little balcony there? I can look out into nature. Could I have music here?
Yes.
In other words, I want my birthing room to be like a 5-star hotel.
That's right.
And if you don't have those, I'll go to another hospital. So what do hospitals do?
They listen.
They want to stay in the baby business.
They listen.
They listen to mom. And now you have birthing suites, they call it.
That's right.
Birthing suites, and they're
being at home.
And it's what mothers deserve. That's the greatest events in your whole life. You want to check into a suite.
Yeah, I love it.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.